So Yudhishthir Prabhu, very, very qualified person. He is an MBA from Narasimhanji College, NM College, and he was a batchmate of many illustrious devotees from this temple, Bhakti Rasamrit Maharaj, Sachinand Prabhu, Anand Vrindavan Prabhu, and many others, and Sri Gaurang Prabhu. So he has served in very leadership positions in export houses, in pharma companies. Currently, he runs his own business, but his main business has been to basically fulfill the dream of Srila Prabhupada by keeping the flag of Back to Godhead magazine running for so many years. Despite all odds, he has been leading this initiative in India for so many years now. He's very dear to His Holiness Jayadwaita Maharaj because of the wonderful services he has done. And he's also one of the things which is very close to his heart is educating children. He's also one of the very active committee members of Gopal's Garden High School. He's been in the movement for now over 2 decades, and he's serving as a counselor in Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Mandir. He's known for his very strict standards of sadhana. In fact, when he was in Singapore, there also he left his mark there. They still remember him there. So today he will be speaking to us about Krishna consciousness, the matchless gift. So let us express our gratitude to His Grace Yudhishthir Prabhu for giving us His mercy by loudly chanting 3 times.
So now, if his introduction is over, I will open my mouth and it'll all fall flat. Thank you very much for the instructions given to me by Baldev Prabhu to come and speak here. So upon his instructions and his blessings, I will try to attempt and share some of my thoughts with you. About 4 or 5 weeks ago, I got a call from Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, Brahmachari from the base that is near to Somaiya College. He was very excited. He said, "The Somaiya College management has once again invited us to speak to the management students about Krishna conscious philosophy. We were once called about 6 years ago, and thereafter the director banned us. Now again, that director was not there, and then there was new management in a management college. So this management wanted us to speak to their management students, and they wanted us to talk directly about Krishna consciousness. One of the professors, she had specifically told Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu that speak directly about the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, maybe he had fever that day and he called me. I was the wrong choice anyway. And he said, "Why don't you address them? You have already done it once before and you were banned when you did it 6 years ago. So now try it once again." So I was very apprehensive. I was lost. I was wondering. And on top of all this, Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu had told me that this professor is insisting, she is saying, "You must speak directly about the Hare Krishna Mahamantra." So the low level of faith that I have prompted me to tell and convince Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu that what I will do is to address this young budding bunch of MBAs who will be very apprehensive about what I am going to talk. Let me mask the whole class. I will give some, life-related issues and how to tackle them, and then I will slip in the Maha Mantra somewhere. So agreed, and we went there. The dean was there, the registrar was there, the and that lady professor also was there. And I started to speak, and it was all round and round and round, and you know, nothing touching to Krishna consciousness. And then all of a sudden she said, you know, time's up. Why don't we have the kirtan? So I said, you know, I looked at Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu. He was sitting right behind. He had told me, saffron is a no-no out here. So I said, okay, you know, I'll just look at you whenever I want to. And then we played the kirtan. Trust me for this. The best part of the presentation was the pre-recorded kirtan that we played. Every student participated, even the Muslim students that I could see there, they also participated. And in hindsight, I was reflecting that this is amazing. That lady professor, she had full faith. She told us, go ahead and do the kirtan. And after being years around here, I said, no, I'll mask the whole thing. I made a presentation out of Formula One racing, and then I connected it to, you know, somehow to Krishna consciousness. I'll not do that here today. My situation of having such less faith is very aptly described in a reading that I just made. There was this church in a small town, and one businessman in that small town so decided that I will have a casino, a gambling joint. And the place that he chose was right in front of the church. Let's say across the road. So the church and the congregation were visibly disturbed and upset as to what would be the effects of this casino. So for months, the congregation got together. They prayed. They prayed in front of the deities. And lo and behold, after a few months, just when the casino was coming up very beautifully, you know, big spires on the casino just to look, make it look like a very holy place, you know, more like a temple looking, but it was inside was a gambling joint completely there. And then lightning struck and the full casino was burnt to ashes. Hare Krishna. What we do in front of the deities, how we behave and what we speak is very, very important. I will share a personal realization. About 6 or 7 years ago, I had gone to Amritsar. And my very senior and dear friend, Raghunath Prabhu, had installed deities at his house, Radha Gokul Chandraji. And I had just about got hold of a camera, mobile phone, with a, you know, mobile phone with a camera. And I used to have, as the screensaver would be the deities, my deities, Radha Madhav. So when I went there to Amritsar, those deities were very, very beautiful. So I clicked that photograph, and when I returned to Bombay, I gave a call back to Raghunath Prabhu and thanked him for his hospitality. He's a wonderful host. And this was around dinner time, around 9-ish. I had just about was going to sit for dinner. And it was in front of Radha Madhav deities that I was speaking. And I told him, it was very nice, your function was very nice. And then I overdid the thing. I said, Prabhu, your deities are so beautiful that previously I used to have Radha Madhav as my screensaver on the mobile phone. Now I have Radha Gokul Chandraji on the mobile phone. The moment I had spoken this, my wife looked at me and said, bit overdone. I also felt bit overdone, over the top. But things closed there. The next morning, There was a 5 o'clock alarm on that mobile phone. And somehow laziness must have gotten the better of me. And I did not get up to shut that alarm. My wife never touches the gadgets that I own. Never. But on that particular day, she attempted to do so. And that alarm would just not go off because there was a pin code that had to be put there. She attempted the pin code 3 times. And the mobile was set such that if you did that, then you had to put a PUK code. And she attempted the PUK code also 3 times. And that's it. The mobile was completely locked. So I got up in the morning, wanted to see my contacts. There were about 700 odd contacts in that mobile phone accumulated over the years. And I was wondering, the mobile would just not respond to my commands. You know, you press this button or you press that button and the mobile would make such sounds. It would hiss back at me. Nothing, no response. I went on for about an hour or two and I asked her, what did you do? She said, I attempted this pin code. Why? How do I know? It asked for it and I attempted and you know it would just not take it in. Trust me, I went to the mobile phone person. He said this mobile phone will have to be completely rebooted and you know made into a fresh, formatted completely. And I had lost all my 700 contacts. So be very careful what you speak in front of the DTs. The DTs would not like to be removed even from the screensaver of the mobile phones. Coming back to this church, where because of their prayers, the casino was burnt down, completely burnt down. Now this businessman was not someone who would take things lying down. He made a petition. He made a petition to the courts. And he said that I had invested millions of dollars into this church, into this casino. I wish he had done it in the church. Into this casino. And because of the prayers of these people who go to the church, lightning struck upon my casino and it got burnt down. So the church duly got a notice from the courts. And the church filed their reply. They said, we have nothing to do with the burning down of this casino. We don't know whether our prayers did it or what. We have nothing directly or indirectly to do anything with this casino and it's burning down. So the court finally presented the case to the judge. And the judge very beautifully commented, it's really applicable to me. He said, I don't know how I am going to solve this case. Because I have a church, I have a casino owner who believes in the power of prayers and a whole church who says we don't know about whether our prayers were effective or not. I remember maybe 10 years or 15 years ago, about 15 years ago when we were just about doing the Back to Godhead, I went to Jay Advaita Maharaj and told him that, Maharaj, every publication worth its salt has this disclaimer notice which says, with every article, the views expressed in this article are of the author and not necessarily that of the publication. So I asked him, should we also put the notice? And he looked back at me. And he said, Yudhishthir, exactly the reverse you put there. The views expressed in this magazine are our own and we have the backing of the Lord, Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas for it. So I really was so impressed with this that we need to have positive faith in the Krishna consciousness that we have. In South India, I had gone and was with a host, a South Indian person, and we were outside the Balaji temple, and we went to an eatery. We went to an eatery, and this person, he called the waiter, and he said, "For this Hare Krishna man, you get a plate, a thali, without onion and without garlic." And said, "For me, get normal thali." So I was wondering, who is normal and who is abnormal? Yeah, it sounds like I'm abnormal. Have you ever experienced this? Someone, you know, who goes out, they'll say, "You know, iske liye doodh leke aao aur mere liye normal chai leke aana." A person, if he has milk or if he doesn't have onion garlic, he's absolutely abnormal. Sometimes I wonder, you know, whether we are normal or what, you know. Actually, there is this big time allegation. You Hare Krishnas are negative. You're completely negative, guys. You always talk of death, impending death. Death can come any time and death is the most horrible. You know, what will you do, etc. Reality is, we are the most positive people. We are the most positive people. We are not ducking this question. We are facing it face to face, head on. We are taking it up. Okay, death, you're coming. We are preparing for it. There were two foxes who asked a boar. You know what a boar is? Lord Boar, he came in that incarnation with his two tusks. Now this boar was sharpening his teeth against a trunk, a tree trunk. And the two foxes told this boar, "Why are you sharpening your teeth today, your tusks today? No hunters are around, so why are you sharpening them today?" He said, "If I don't sharpen them today, I don't know what I'll do when the hunters come." And that's exactly what we have to do as Hare Krishna. We have to sharpen ourselves, because when the hunter comes, we will not have enough time. So actually it is these people who are very, very negative and not at all positive. The most positive person that we have seen is Srila Prabhupada himself. For years he was preparing simply for that one journey, which he undertook about 46 years ago. For years he wrote patiently. He started with the magazine, then he started with the books, the first canto, the second canto. He printed even 1100 copies of those cantos. He was very, very patient. And tomorrow is the 46th anniversary of Srila Prabhupada putting his lotus feet on American soil. And lo and behold, what immense earthquake he did cause in America. No one could ignore Srila Prabhupada. No one. No, either they had to speak for him or they were against him, but no one ignored Prabhupada out there. Such powerfully positive personality. In Jaipur, when Prabhupada was visiting with his disciples from America, and there was this businessman who came and was criticizing, and he said, "Swamiji, yes, you have these disciples, yeah, they're very good, but, you know, I don't think so. They know the Vedas and they know the shlokas, etc." Now, Prabhupada being Prabhupada, he's not willing to take anything, you know. And he said, he looked around his disciples and there was this Mataji. And he said, "She knows the entire Vedas." Look at the positivity of this personality, okay? Just take a pause and look at the person, you know, look at the positive thing. He said, "She knows the entire Vedas." Now this Mataji says, "I was thinking I know only 6 verses." So the businessman said, "What? She knows the entire Vedas?" Prabhupada said, "Yes, come on, you recite." And this Mataji was like, 6 verses. So she started, first verse, second verse, third verse, fourth, fifth. Sixth, and she was wondering, how am I going to recite the entire Vedas? And the businessman said, okay, okay, she knows so much. Then, you know, he still had not finished with his business. He told Prabhupada, yes, this is good. They know the entire Vedas, but their, you know, their pronunciation, you know, their pronunciation is not so good. Again, Prabhupada said, yes, their pronunciation is not so good, but their renunciation is very good. How true. How true. The American disciples of Srila Prabhupada and those who joined him in those early days, truly, they were amazingly renounced. When I look back and I think, you know, a personality, you cannot even catch his Bengali diction. He was like alien out there in America. Complete alien. I just wonder how Mukund Maharaj, Giriraj Maharaj, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, how they like completely dedicated themselves. Giriraj Maharaj was like, everything was Srila Prabhupada. He would even notice what Srila Prabhupada did at Vile Parla station and what Prabhupada did at Santa Cruz station, and when he reached Grant Road station, what did he say? That kind of detailed eye they had on Prabhupada, that's the kind of dedication they had on, you know, with Prabhupada. This was really amazing. Now, yes, we know ISKCON is there, it's providing the best philosophy. Naturally, we are attracted to all of this. But those days, I bow down to all those who went with Prabhupada during those first, during the first 10 years. Once Prabhupada was, Madhudvish Maharaj was sitting with Prabhupada and they were just having a discussion. Prabhupada said, I started with the Back to Godhead magazine, and then Bone Maharaj told me that magazine, okay, it comes and goes. Why don't you write books? So Prabhupada started writing books. He wrote, he didn't have the money. So there was this businessman who sponsored the books. And he wrote first canto in 1960. 63, he had about second canto. Somewhere around there, 65, you know, just before he had the third canto. And he had printed 1,100 copies of each of this. 1965, he went to Mayapur to pay his respects to his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And from there, from Calcutta, he boarded the Jaladuta. But before this, Srila Prabhupada had sold some of his Bhagavatam copies out here. And the American embassy in Delhi had purchased about 19 sets of those first three cantos, or probably the first two cantos. And they had told Prabhupada that whenever you write the balance part of it, do let us know. They placed a standing order. When Prabhupada reached America, Prabhupada was saying that I visited the library, which was nearby, and they had a copy of the Bhagavatam. They would not buy because they already had it. They went to Philadelphia and they also had a copy of the Bhagavatam. Now imagine how positive you would have to be to survive there in such an atmosphere that you have this Bhagavatam to sell, and you know, wherever you go and you knock, they say, we already have it. How positive a personality Prabhupada is. And then Madhudvish Maharaj was telling Prabhupada that Mr. Punja from Fiji cannot come and meet you. He is old. And he says, whenever I will be better, I will come and meet Srila Prabhupada. Anyway, Mr. Punja is saying, Prabhupada, you will live for 100 years. So Prabhupada had a non-committal grin. You know, like, how does it matter kind of stuff. So Madhudvish Maharaj went on. And then Prabhupada said, I have been in my very early days to an astrologer in Calcutta. And all he said was, this will be my last birth. So Prabhupada, in his, you know, inimitable style, in a very positive manner, in very positive Krishna consciousness, he said, this will be my last birth. I know my godbrother in Amritsar, Raghunath Prabhu, he keeps on declaring, Yudhishthir, I have decided that this should be my last birth. What positivity. I'll share with you another example. This was from Vrindavan. We were on a yatra. This was 1998, I guess. And I still carry the memories of this one incident. We were just standing outside the Samadhi Mandir of Rupa Goswami. And the rickshaw pullers were with us. And one devotee from Radha Gopinath temple itself, I won't name him, I know him, and I know who it was, but in his great enthusiasm, he went and told this rickshaw puller who was smoking a bidi, he said, don't smoke this bidi. Chant Hare Krishna and you will go back to Godhead. Now the rickshaw puller went ballistic when he heard this. He looked at this devotee. And what I'll do is, I'll speak in the chaste Hindi that he spoke back to this person. So, he said, Tu ka more bolat hai Hare Krishna bolan ko? Tu teri jaan moke to Radharani levan ko aegi. Trust me for this. This is really imprinted in my mind. The kind of positivity this man had. You know, all of you from big cities types and saying, chant Hare Krishna and you'll go back to God. He said, hold a minute, man. I know who's going to come and take me back. You go back to Godhead, I'll go with Radharani. Amazing positivity. You know, the what we need to really take is the positive lesson that we learned from this incident. And in the entire Srimad Bhagavatam also, we'll find everyone hugely positive. Prahlad Maharaj didn't bother. He would jump from a hilltop. He had positive faith in Krishna. He would, you know, sit in the fire. Doesn't matter. He even fought with his mighty father. Didn't matter to him. He took cudgels with his father. All of them, you know, Kubja, Sudama, Gajendra. What did they have? They were not like very attractive. They were not very intelligent. Or they were not very moneyed. Even Bali Maharaj, for that matter, he was a pauper at the time when Krishna put his, when Vamandev put his feet on his head, he had nothing to offer excepting his head. He had nothing to offer. It finished. Many times we feel dejected. I wish I could sing. I wish I could speak like Radha Gopinath Prabhu does. He spoke so beautifully in the morning Bhagavatam. And I was wondering whether he had heard my class already because he was speaking about positivity and, you know, he spoke so nicely about it. I wish I was beautiful looking. I wish I had loads of money. But none of these people who were so positive in the Srimad Bhagavatam, they had none of this. And whenever I feel dejected, I'll share with you a verse that I usually sing to myself. Very nice verse. It says, Na janmanunam mahato na saubhagam. So, na janmanunam mahato na saubhagam. I don't have a birth that is of, you know, of great bhagya, you know, of in a very big family or something. Na janmanunam mahato na saubhagam. Na vak na buddhir na akritish tosha hetu. My speaking is not so beautiful. Navak na buddhir. I don't have some. I'm a brainy guy. Na akritish. My whole body is not something that, you know, you would love to look at it the second time. Na akritish tosha hetu. Tairyada vishritan navanau kasascha. Chakara Sakhe Bata Lakshmana Grajaha. This is Hanumanji saying that Na Janmanunam Mahato Nasau Bhagam Navak Na Buddhir Na Akritish Tosha Hetu Tairyada Vishrita Navanau Kasascha. I haven't got any degrees from Bombay University, you know. I'm in the forest. But still, O Lord, Chakara Sakhe. Oh gosh, what is your friendship? Chakara Sakhe. But a Lakshmana Agraja, you've made me the younger brother of Lakshman. So the Lord has accepted him without any of these qualifications. He didn't bother. And in the purport to the verse in Canto 1, chapter 9, 12, Prabhupada says, as long as we are fully in cooperation with the wishes of the Lord, there is no cause for despondency. Very nice purport, 1.9.12. There was this teacher, and he found that his student was very despondent looking at that point in time, and he said, you want to know how to tackle pain? And the student said, yes, why not? So the teacher gave him a handful of salt. And he said, this salt represents pain. And he gave him a glass of water. Chote se break ke baad. And he asked him to put that salt in this glass of water and said, drink. And he drank. And he spat it out. He said, this is horrible. So the master said, okay. He took him to a very large lake. And he said, now you put the salt in this lake. So he put it. And he said, now take the water and drink. And it was pretty okay. Point is that we need to put our pains and we need to put our pains separate and dive into this big, big lake instead of keeping on diving into our small little area or this small glass, and our pain will be reduced. And for us, luckily, we can dive into this oceanic and nectarian ocean of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. But material world and Maya doesn't leave us so easily. Despondency, this anxiety, oh, it keeps on gripping us. Very, very huge. There was a weaver, one who makes beautiful cloth, and he used to hand make all this cloth, very beautiful, elegant cloth. And one of the businessmen in that village, they liked the cloth. So that businessman gave him 2 gold coins for that cloth. And he was overjoyed. And then he went to his wife and he gave both the gold coins to him. I wish he had bought an iPhone with one of the gold coins. He would have been happier. But he gave both the gold coins to his wife. And this wife, deft and adept as all wives are at savings, she said, you use this one coin to further your business, and this one coin you keep it as a savings for the rainy day. So obedient husband, he went and hid the coin. But being a village and, you know, a small place, he said, where is a secure place? So what he did was he went to the king's palace and he hid that coin in the king's palace. Days passed, months passed, and his fame grew that he was one of the best weaver in the whole area. Many people would come. He would earn handsomely. So one day his wife told him that with all this that you have, why don't you put a hand loom? So you go and buy a hand loom. Power looms were still to come at that time. So he said, okay, fair. And it was hot summer afternoon. And he started to walk towards the king's palace. And the king was watching from the cool environments of his palace that there is no one on the streets. It is so hot. But there is this one man who is walking towards the palace. What is the matter? What does he really want? So as soon as the weaver comes in, the king confronts him and says, my dear weaver, I want everyone in my kingdom to be happy and peaceful. But why are you straining yourself in this hot summer? And the weaver said that I have hidden a gold coin which I had earned in your palace. So the king said, why strain yourself so much for this? Here, take two gold coins. So the weaver took those and he said, wow, two gold coins. And he looked up at the king. Can I search for the third gold coin? I'll be richer. So the king said, you know, what kind of strain he will have to undergo? So the king said, here, take this bag full of gold coins. And the weaver took it, bag full of gold coins. He could have set up India's most biggest power loom factory with those gold coins. And when he took it, and he said, the king, can I still search for my one gold coin? So the king was very merciful and he said, listen, why do all of this? You want to become rich? Okay. You take half my kingdom and I will keep the balance half. Now this weaver was overjoyed, overjoyed. So the king said, now everything's okay. You'll go back to your wife or, you know, you take this half kingdom. He said, Lord, just one last wish. Give me half of that kingdom where the gold coin is. So still not satisfied. You know, we want half of that kingdom where that one-nth gold coin is kept. Searching, 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 searching. And this modern world, they made a treaty in Bretton Woods many years ago, I believe in the last century, that they will print only so much money by way of paper as much as they have gold to back it. And then somehow they forgot that treaty and they kept on printing notes and notes and notes. And today we have a situation where you take some paper, put some ink on it, pass a silver thread through it, and that is called money. And when you can't tackle too much of it, you ask somebody to increase the interest rates, and still the inflation doesn't come down, and you still increase the interest rates, and then finally you call in a management student or an economist to tell us it just does not work. It just doesn't work. A couple of the last summer, my driver, when he returned from his village, he had one of these brahmachari type of shaven head like Prabhuji has here. He was completely like less than small butts on his head. And I said, what happened? Why did you do this? So he said, no, you know, in the village, haircut is free. Acha, I said, good. So it cost nearly 30 rupees or 60 rupees or whatever it does to have a haircut here. So he went on to explain to me. He said, in my village, we have a carpenter, we have a barber, we have a cobbler, and a couple of other such people, a mason, and they all work for free. In turn, we give them enough grain for their family and them to survive for the full year. Reality is, and you can count it with me, everything is free. Everything is free. Want to count? Water? Free. Food? Free. Just for some toiling on the earth, you know, you'll get your food. Cloth? Free. Free. Really free. Cotton goes and you weave the cotton, you know, with a charkha or something. Free. Heat? Free. What else do you need? Your rice and grains anyway free? Reality is everything is free except whatever cost, anything that costs is sold by American multinationals and Marwadi businessmen. Of course, I will not charge you for this lecture. Srila Prabhupada was visited in Mayapur by, I guess he was a Marwadi businessman, and he used to make glass. So as soon as Jayapataka Maharaj got him in front of Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, "So, what do you do?" He said, "Prabhupada, I make glass. I manufacture glass." So Prabhupada said, "What do you use for the glass?" So he said, "Sand, silicon." So Prabhupada said, "Who owns the silicon? Who owns the sand?" So the businessman said, "Bhagavan." So he said, "Then you are a thief." So the businessman was, you know, he sort of cowed down a little bit and then he said, "Okay, let's make up." He said, "But Prabhupada, I do a lot of charity. You know, some of my profits I put into charity." So Prabhupada said, "Oh, you are a small thief then." If you'll see that Maya really plays her tricks. I remember before coming here, I used to go to North India and there were these sadhus out there. And I was somehow very attracted to sadhus even before I came here. So I spent some time not, you know, being a sadhu, just sort of watching them and seeing them, having a chat with a person or two, giving a few rupees as donation. And I saw one of them told me that, you know, "I'm from South India. I have given up everything. I do a simple cooking. You know, here's my place of staying. And I take a bath by the Ganges, etc." And I happened to meet the same sadhu after a couple of years, whatever, by virtue of his austerity or whatever he did. And he had a television and he had a transistor. And on the transistor, he was listening to BBC. So I was wondering, he leaves all his BB and everything and C, meaning the BB and the children, and then he comes here and he's hooked onto this BBC. What sort of renunciation? No? So how many of you have seen or experienced Maya? How many of you have experienced Maya? All. Everyone. How many of you have seen Maya? No one. So if anyone, listen to my question very carefully. If anyone out here wants to see Maya just now, say loudly, "Hari Bol." I trapped you. Did you hear the Hari Bol was not very loud? There are some people who don't want to see Maya. In front of Radha Gopinath ji, why do we want to see Maya? A rascal speaker like me can trap you into saying a loud Hari Bol in front of the Radha Gopinath deities. Be careful. But still, I have committed in front of the deities that I will show you Maya Devi just now. But before I show you, we will have to chant a few mantras. Will you do so with me? Okay, so from Brahma Samhita, we will chant about Mayaji. Maya hi yasya. Sakalin, please sing along. Don't. Yahiyasya sakalendriya vrittimanti pashyanti panti kalayanti chiram jaganti nanda chinmaya saduchvara govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. So, we are ready to see Maya? Let's sing the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, because that we know easily and we'll be protected from Maya then whenever she appears here. Let's sing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So Maya is here. After the break? No. Maya is here. Because I'm sitting so close to her, I will take this Harinam Chadar on myself, so at least I'm protected. Who cares about the audience anyway? Whether they sit for 1 hour lecture, 2 hour lecture, 3 hour lecture, I'll give my lecture. So I'll put this Harinam Chadar around me, at least for protection's sake. Since I'm going to tackle Maya, I'll have to have some protection. See? The kind of... This is personification of Maya. I use a lot of this in my business. Do you know what this is called? Dry ice. Ice per se does not quench your thirst. It's only water that quenches your thirst. Do you know what is the temperature of this? You must be wondering whether this is a chemistry class going on. But I am a pharmacist by profession, so I can relate to such things. You know what this is made of? Carbon dioxide. This is solid carbon dioxide. Any guesses on what the temperature is out here? Doesn't it really look cool? Doesn't it really look cool? Wow, if it was summer, you know, it really looks cool, very attractive. Any ideas on what is the temperature here? Minus zero? Zero. Minus four. Minus 20. Minus 50. He's getting closer. This is minus 86 at this point in time. Minus 86. This is Maya. She's dry, she's ice form, and she's at minus 86. Do you know what happens if I was not wearing this glove? I would get something called a cold burn. No, it's not frostbite. Frostbite is at minus 13. You would get that if you were in Moscow. I was caught by the police once outside my hotel on the street in Moscow. And he wanted to see my passport. And I didn't have it. And because I smiled, my smile remained like this until I got into the hotel. It was minus 20 out there. You know, your thing freezes. You're continuously like this. You know, you're forced to smile because of the temperature. This was minus 86. You touch it and you'll be burnt. This is exactly Maya. Looks very beautiful. Ah, cool. But touch it and you'll be burned. And Maya looks solid, doesn't it? This was solid. But here's chemistry, and here's the chemistry of Krishna at work. This dry ice is dry because it doesn't turn from solid to liquid and then liquid to gas. It doesn't follow the usual principles of chemistry. If you were to use ice, if you were to get ice, it would get into a water, and then if you were to boil it to 100 degrees, and then it would become gas, steam. This does not follow that. It doesn't go from solid to liquid to gas. It goes straight from solid to gas. So I have all my bank balance today. It is there, solid gold out there. And tomorrow, all gas. It's all gone. That's Maya. In 1956, a young man passed out of Calcutta University, went to London for his engineering. His name was Vijay Gokhale. And when he came back to India, he got a very good job in a big multinational. He joined as a trainee on the factory, on the floor shop. 1984, January, Vijay Gokhale became the managing director of this company with 10,000 workers across the globe. During those days was a big number. 14 manufacturing locations. Vijay Gokhale was the toast of every friend, envy of all his detractors, two cars, good family, everything. You name it, Vijay Gokhale had it. 1984 was a tumultuous year for India as well. Our Prime Minister was shot by her own bodyguards. December 1984, the factory in which Vijay Gokhale was the managing director leaked some small gas. Thousands and thousands of people died. That gas was called methyl isocyanate. Just see Maya's power. Vijay Gokhale was on top of the world, managing director of Union Carbide. And in Bhopal, that gas leaked, none of his fault. A small valve malfunctioned out there somewhere. None of his fault. And Vijay Gokhale was completely untouchable. No one wanted to speak to him. No government officer would even want to have him close by their cabin as well. So Maya, absolutely, it may look so solid at this point in time, but in moments, it's all gone. It is gas. And Maya, in one of its very strong forms nowadays, is into things like BBC, and the media and the web. It's actually pure blasphemy. The whole web business is completely blasphemy. As followers and admirers of Srila Prabhupada, his mission and his ISKCON, his disciples and his other followers, it is our duty to protect, especially it is our duty to serve and protect his first generation disciples. Undoubtedly they are respectable, but it's also our duty to protect them because they are the leaders. Near the Suvela mountains, when the war between Ravan and Lord Ram was going on, Sugriva on one day jumped and he went to the Suvela mountains and he had a big fight alone with Ravan. Somehow he withdrew and he came back. When he came back, he got the chastisement of his life from Lord Ram. He said, why did you go there? You are a leader. You are meant to be protected. A leader is protected not because he or she is weak. It is because we need the leader. That is the reason the leader must be protected. Otherwise, if Lord Ram says, Sugriva, if you had gone, if you had lost your life, what would have happened to all your kingdom? If the leader and his image is tarnished, everything is lost. Lord Ram says, it is nice that nothing has happened to you. Otherwise, I would have to give up Sita Devi. I would have to install Vibhishan on a throne and then coronate Bharat. And I would have to give up my life because I could not save the leader of your monkey military power, of your monkeys. So it is our duty, whatever we need to do in terms of seva, to protect the leaders. Because otherwise we will not get all this association. It will become more and more difficult. Association is very key. Going back to this dry ice example, if I break this, if you were to break Maya into small, small pieces, you will be able to tackle her. You will be able to finish this off. But if you try to take a huge block, it will remain with you for long. So also, we need to preach, we need to make ourselves into a larger and a larger and a larger block of devotee, a larger community. Many times this question arises. And once I was having a discussion with a brahmachari out here, and we were saying that now the ratio of the dhotis and the jeans, you know, in the temple is like getting, you know, close to like, you know, 25 to the dhotis and 75 to the jeans, to the jean-clad youngsters coming in. And then we decided and we thought that, yes, it's a very happy situation to have all these jean-clads, because anyway, they're going to lose their jeans and get into dhoti someday or the other. So we really need to increase the preaching. We really need to distribute this gift of Krishna consciousness that we have and do it under the guidance of our leaders, and in turn offer protection and do whatever duty it takes. The Lord will protect us at all times, no doubt about this. He can go out of his way to protect us. The Kurukshetra war had just gotten over, and Krishna was coming back to Dwarka on his chariot. And this is somewhere around the border between Rajasthan and Haryana, this incident has taken place, closer to Rajasthan. And Krishna was riding on his chariot, and a very, very old and dear friend of Krishna, a Brahmin friend of Krishna by the name of Utanga, he spots Krishna from a distance. And Krishna as well spots him. And Krishna asks his chariot driver, take the chariot there. And as soon as he goes there, Utanga is overjoyed. Oh, Krishna, my dear friend. And even Krishna is very overjoyed to see his old friend Utanga. And he says, how have you been? They all exchange greetings. And Utanga was a reclusive Brahmin. He didn't know much about what is going around. He didn't have the net or Times of India to inform him that the Kurukshetra war had taken place. So the Brahman, in his innocent form, in his innocent manner, asked Krishna, oh Krishna, how are all the Kurus and how are all the Pandavas doing? I'm sure they're all under your protection. And Krishna, for a moment, nods softly and holds back and says, okay, I can guess. This reclusive Brahman doesn't know of what's happening. And he starts slowly to explain that these were the happenings over the years. And both the Kurus and the Pandavas have fought a very ghastly battle nearby Kurukshetra. And the entire Kuru race is virtually finished. The Kurus are completely finished. Now Utanga is somehow getting very annoyed at all this. And he tells Krishna, why did you not prevent all this from happening? Krishna, you could have prevented all this from happening. And he looks at Krishna and he says, Krishna, because you didn't do your duty, behold, here, I am going to curse you. So imagine a person is going to curse Krishna. And Krishna says, hold, Utanga, hold. Do not use up the fruits of all your penances. And Krishna, out of his merciful, he was just so merciful on this Brahmana, he exhibited his Vishwarup form to this Brahmana. Just like he had done to Arjuna a few days ago. And Arjuna said, oh please, I don't want this Vishwarup form. I just want that sweet Krishna. Please come back to your original Krishna form. And the same manner, Utanga also requested, please, Krishna, enough, I withdraw my curse. I withdraw this propensity to curse you. Please come back to your original form. So Krishna came back on the chariot. And Krishna says to Utanga, my dear friend, we have met after a long gap of time. Why don't you ask some boon of me? And Utanga said, but I am a Brahmana, what do I need? So Krishna says, no, you ask me of some boon. So Utanga, says, do one thing. Whenever I need water, you supply water to me. So it's like if the Bombay Municipal Commissioner comes to your house and says, listen, Mr. So-and-so, would you like this 3 acres of land and I can build a palatial house to you and you will have, a large playground also in front and with a ocean view front? And you say, no, Mr. Commissioner, water in my house comes only for 1 hour. Can you make it to 2 hours now? You have Krishna standing right there in front of you. And he says, water, Krishna, just when I need water. I also need some. So they go their own ways. Utanga feels thirsty. And a sense of doubt creeps into his mind. And he says, really, did Krishna mean this? Do you think he'd supply water to me when I needed it? So he said, I need some water. And lo and behold, a chandala walks by there. He has this huge leather bag. That's what they used to carry water in, with a bamboo spout so that the water could be poured. And he had these 6 ferocious looking dogs with him. And he goes and tells Utanga, Utanga, do you need water? Take. Utanga says, no, I'm not thirsty. So this chandala insists, no, take water. You need water. You are thirsty. He says, no, I am not. All my thirst has gone. Now this chandala further insists, Utanga, please take water. You need it. You are thirsty. He says, how dare you even come close to a Brahmana like me? You Chandala, because I've seen you, all my thirst has gone. You go away. And the Chandala goes. And then Utanga again thinks, oh, did I make a mistake? Was this some sort of form of Krishna to test me? And he wonders, he says, this water man, you know, where did he appear from? How did he know that I wanted water? So actually, Krishna had sent this water for him. Utanga realized this, that, oh, this was none other than my friend. But then again, Utanga in his own mood, he says, oh, Purushottama, is this the way to send water? If you had to send water, you could have sent it with some other, in some other form, but a chandala? So, you know, you're very smart. You fulfill the stuff that you promised to me, but you sent it via this chandala, so I couldn't have the water. And Krishna says, enough is enough now. And he appears in front of Utanga and he says, oh Utanga, you have really let me down. You have really let me down. And Utanga says, you have really let me down. So Krishna says, no. When you needed water, I immediately went to the Lord of the heavens, Indra. Imagine what Krishna can do for his friend, just for this thirst. He says, I personally went to Lord Indra and I requested him, please send Amrit to this person. And Indra said, no, I don't give Amrit. This Amrit is not meant for ordinary mortals. It's not meant for... Krishna says, no, he's not ordinary. You give it to him, he's my friend. So Indra says, okay, one condition, he will have to pass this test. And he appeared as this chandala. But Krishna says to Utanga, he says, Utanga, you still don't have that maturity. Unfortunately, you failed the test. Actually, Krishna, he does so much. He does so much. We've all heard of the Amrit Manthan that took place. They couldn't lift the hill, the Sumeru. They were all crushed. And Krishna came immediately. And he also became like a fulcrum for the... Because there was no way they could then twist the hill. So he became like a fulcrum. Kurma. And then Vasuki, thousand-headed hood snake. And Krishna in the form of his passion, ignorance form, he empowered Vasuki. So Vasuki was actually churning using his body. He was moving the hill. And the devtas and the demons thought, we are doing it out of our great uneasy cooperation. And then in the mode of passion that entered into the demons, and the mode of goodness was given to the devtas. And still we claim that it is me who is doing it. It is I who is doing it. It's a very beautiful verse in the Bhagavatam which says, Satyam dishati arthitam arthito nrinam naivarthadoyat punarartito yata swayam vidhate bhajatam anichhatam ichhapidhanam nijapadapallavam. He says, know this as a fact for sure. Satyam dishati arthitam. Arthito ninam. Artha, I will give you. Many times you'll see those, I have seen this, those who have come to Krishna consciousness, done a lot of service, and then left it, you will see them. They have become millionaires. Don't worry, all of you will become millionaires even if you stay here. So no need to leave. to become millionaires. But somehow, I have noticed a few cases like this. Why? Krishna says, don't leave your debt on me. You take whatever you want. If my debt can get over with your paper money, take as much paper money as you want. And have as much electronic balance in the bank as you want. We are through. We are quits. So know this as a fact. Krishna says, Satyam dishati arthitam arthito ninam. I will give you artha. Naivarthado yat punar arthito yata. You will not have to come back and ask me for more. That much I'll give you. Naiva and artha, I'll give you enough. Don't bother about it. What is tough to get from me? Nijapada pallavam. That you will have to do. Swayam vidate, bhajatam anichatam, without any desires, etc. You will have to come in. Very tough to get, he says. And we can see it in all these stories that we sort of shared. That Krishna is willing to do anything. He is willing to become a turtle. He is willing to even become a lady. Huh? After the churning got over, he had to carry that pot of nectar in the form of a lady. And he did that. Mohini is another story, and very Mohini story. It's a very Mohak story by itself. And there are many people who recite it so, you know, give it so beautifully. And Krishna was willing to do that as well. So many things he's willing to do. So really speaking, this Krishna consciousness that we have is a gift to us from Lord Chaitanya, from the Acharyas, the Goswamis, Srila Prabhupada, his disciples given to us, your friends who have given it to you. Really, we have this. We also have our own BBC, right? The Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita, and the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We have the books, we have the brothers, meaning God brothers, God sisters, and the chanting for ourselves. We also have our own BBC. So we need to really treasure this BBC. So now, if you will permit me, I will begin my class. Krishna consciousness, the matchless gift. I'm not ending it. I'm starting the class now. Okay. So Krishna consciousness, really everyone has woken up now. Saying, wow, this is the start of the class. So if we have all these books, if we have Srimad Bhagavatam, and we have this great gift of Krishna consciousness, then it should reflect in our behavior. There must be a change in our behavior. There is no other option for us. And so many times we've heard all the verses from Lord Chaitanya himself, how our behavior should be. Amani namana dena kirtaniya slahari. So there must be change in behavior. There must be maturity that comes about with Krishna consciousness. There should be. Just a few months ago, I had come to that section of the temple, and after the lecture, I met none other than Govind the Brahmachari, and he was in a very belligerent mood on that day after he saw me. He was very annoyed. And he said, "So Yudhishthir Prabhu, where were you when that program at Birla House took place?" So I said, "Prabhu, I was there." Then he said, "Oh, okay, where were you when Maharaj had gone for that particular program?" I said, "Prabhu, I came to that program." "So where were you when the Dadar Rath Yatra took place?" He was just not willing to stop. So I said, "Prabhu, I came." So he said, "Then why did you not make announcements there?" he's just like still in very terrifying mood on that day. So if he could please shut that mobile phone. So I told him, Prabhu, I have had enough of this announcements business. I wish to retire and I wish to take a back seat, and I don't want all the high profile that comes with it. Now he gave such a mature reply that stunned me. He looked at me, you know, he was sitting like this and I was sitting here, you know. So he looked at me and he said, why are you so scared? You have your mother and wife to protect you. Think of this reply when you go back home today. You know, this is maturity. It's a completely different perspective on family. And I really liked the perspective. It was very, very mature. In fact, all of this mature perspective is coming to us from our most respected and our most dearly loved brahmacharis. And before I end my class, I'm going to make a proposal, which if you like, this time, can say a very loud Hari Bol for that proposal. I know I may be pounced upon by the brahmachari class of devotees. But Prabhus and Matajis, what I'm proposing is that we have, and we should think very seriously and initiate a program called a Sadhu Appreciation Program or a Brahmachari Appreciation Program or a Brahmachari Appreciation Day. The Brahmacharis have done so much for us. Really, I'd love to have them sitting on a platform and many of us coming over there and relating those small and those large incidents where they guided us so nicely, where they took care of us so nicely, where they, you know, were standing with us despite it being a material situation where they have nothing to do. See, one of the brahmacharis has already walked out. He didn't like the proposal. So I'm proposing that we have a SAP, a SAP, not the software SAP, because the software SAP, nobody can understand it, where it starts and where it ends. It can run manufacturing companies and it can confuse them to no end. But we are talking of SAP, the Sadhu Appreciation Program, and I wish that some of the members of the executive committee and the chairman of the executive committee, even he is a sadhu, I won't name him because he will feel very embarrassed. For those of you who know him, good. And the CSV will consider this proposal that we have a Sadhu Appreciation Program. You could do it in small lots in your own council meetings. We can do it on a big scale. And I hope that we have this SAP implemented someday soon in our temples. So if you support this, you know, why not say a loud Hari Bol for this? Thank you very much for your patient hearing. Hare Krishna.